this morning. And I have to say that these are all pretty significant, life-changing, very weighty questions, actually. The first one is this: do you know why you're never satisfied? Do you know why the things you consume here on earth never seem to fill the emptiness that you feel inside? That's the first question. Here's the second one. Do you know how faith works? Do you know what it is actually that you need to do to receive eternal life? Third question, do you know who Jesus really is? Do you know who Jesus really is? Do you know why God sent His Son Jesus into the world? Now, I ask these questions. The reason I ask these questions is that, well, most people think that they have the answers. They think they know what Christianity is all about. But in actuality, they're clueless. They've convinced themselves that they know the right answers. But in reality, they're oblivious to the truth. Let me tell you a story to illustrate this a little bit. When I was a youth pastor, I took my students on a mission trip to California, where we are equipping our students to be able to share their faith, to share the gospel with complete strangers on the beaches around Santa Cruz. It's kind of a fun thing. This mission was called SEMP, Students Equipped to Minister to Their Peers. So we trained them there so they could share their faith when they got home. And every day, we would go out and we would have training in the morning. We would have witnessing in the afternoon, and then we would have worship at night, and then we would debrief the day. And on the second day of our mission, after that morning of training and street witnessing in the afternoon and a worship time at night, we came together as a youth group to debrief what God was doing in their lives that day. Excuse me. Now, during that second night, one of my students, David Wood, he stood up and started sharing his frustrations from that day. He had been out on the streets, at one of the beaches, sharing his faith, sharing the gospel, that afternoon with a man who was in his 50s. And as he began talking to this man about Jesus, this man began to tell him he had no business talking to him about Jesus. He said to him, "You don't know what you're talking about. Your Christianity is irrelevant, and Jesus isn't who you think he is." Now, what I loved about this debrief time, what I loved about listening to David, was this. As he shared about this encounter, he got pretty heated. He got pretty heated. This man had questioned David's faith and ridiculed his Savior. He wasn't happy about it. And what I saw that night was a young man who realized that maybe for the very first time how important Jesus was to him. And although this man had tried to throw cold water on his faith, what he actually did was set fire to it. Now, I tell you this story because this man thought he had Jesus all figured out. But in reality, he didn't have a clue about who Jesus is and what Jesus offers. Kind of like the people we're going to look at in the story in God's Word today. They thought they had Jesus all figured out. But they were not only clueless about who Jesus was, they were also ignorant about what real life was and real faith involves. So if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want to encourage you to turn to John chapter 6. Our passage today is John 6, 22 through 40. And here is where we're going to see where Jesus now exposes their ignorance about life, about faith, and about Jesus himself. So I want to pick up the story where Jesus begins and reveals to us how really they were clueless about life, about what life's really all about. And pick it up in verse 22. It says, the next day. Okay, now, are you with me on what the next day means? It's the day after he fed the 5,000.
Okay?
It says, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Ouch. Jesus doesn't open his arms and give everybody a big welcome. Rather, he cuts to the chase and exposes their ignorance. At first glance, he seems almost kind of rude. But in revealing their ignorance to them, we see that in his truth-telling is one of the most loving things he could have done for them. Mm. Why is that? Well, it's because he's exposing their shallow agenda for life. Their materialistic agenda for life, their selfish agenda for life that caused them to seek Jesus for what they thought they could get from him. So Jesus immediately sets them straight, and as he does, I'm pretty sure there were those right there in that crowd who were immediately offended by his words. But Jesus, see, he wants them to know that life is more than the temporary satisfaction of a full stomach. So he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father set his seal. So Jesus goes right to the point, hits them right for their living, where they're living, and in actuality does the same to us. See, most of our life has been spent working for food that spoils, for satisfaction that does not last. See, we live in a culture that continually works to convince us that we need what they're offering. We are the targets of marketers whose job it is to awaken the desires within us so that we will believe that we cannot live without whatever it is they want to sell us. The goal of marketers, you see, is to play on the empty longings of our hearts, which is in actuality a longing for God.
Yes.
By telling us that if we work long enough, hard enough, smart enough, we can satisfy those longings by filling our lives with food or sex or fancy cars or stylish homes or elaborate vacations. But just like the bread that satisfies for a moment, and then we're hungry again.
Yes.
Marketers know that if they continue targeting the cravings that give us temporary satisfaction, then we will keep coming back to them for life, even though it's a life that never truly satisfies. So Jesus tells them that they've got their priorities of life all wrong. They've been pouring their time, effort, energies into making sure their physical hunger is met. And they've been neglecting putting any effort, you see, into making sure their spiritual hunger is met. He wants them to know there's more to life than filling their bellies. He wants them to know that there's a life that endures, that doesn't spoil. An alternative kind of life to what the world is offering them. A life that can satisfy their souls completely. A life that can fill the emptiness that plagues them. And he calls this life eternal life. But we can't buy this life. We can't earn this life. For eternal life is a quality of life that is given to us from him. he says here, that comes from the Son of Man, which in actuality comes from Jesus. And that's the first truth he wanted them to know. That's the first truth he wants us to know. The things of this world were never meant to give us complete satisfaction. I mean, you can try to amass a fortune. Some of you have done that. You can try to fill your life with food and sex and fun, and most of us do that. But no matter how hard you try to satisfy those longings, you still have this emptiness inside that only God can fill. This is what the ancient philosopher Pascal was referring to when he said this: there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Now, as Jesus is speaking, this kind of makes a little bit of sense to them. They want what he's talking about. And I think it should hit home for us as well. If God gives this kind of life, then most of us actually would probably think, well, yeah, I want that. But I need to know what I need to do to get that kind of life. And so that's what we see next. The crowd asks. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. Pretty simple. What must we do to receive the gift of eternal life, the gift that God wants to give us, this gift of satisfaction, of life? Jesus says, believe in the one he has sent. So if you want a life that fills the emptiness inside, you must believe in Jesus. If you want a life that endures, you've got to trust in the one God has sent. Now, this sounds pretty basic. It sounds simple enough. But, you see, as Jesus begins to speak about having faith in the one God has sent, he immediately exposes a second area they're clueless about. They are clueless about faith. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So here now we see that the crowd wants Jesus to do something. The crowd wants Jesus to do something to convince them to put their trust in him. This is crazy, because they had just witnessed the previous day a miraculous sign from Jesus. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he fed anywhere from 20 to 30,000 people. And yet they still want Jesus to prove himself by doing something miraculous right then and right there. They want them to see Jesus do something to convince them that they should believe in him. They want him to do what they mistakenly believed that what Moses had done. They believe that Moses was the one who gave God's people bread from heaven. Do what Moses did, we'll believe you. But there's a problem here in what they're asking Jesus to do. In making this demand of Jesus, they reveal that they're absolutely clueless, totally ignorant about what it takes, what faith takes. See, here's the truth. We don't demand God to prove himself to us. To demand God to prove himself by doing something for us is opposite of faith. It's like saying to God, well, I'll believe in you if you heal my cancer, or I'll believe in you if you make my life easier, or I'll believe in you if you answer my prayers. I mean, you can fill in the blank. You probably have thousands of things that you could say. But you know what? That's not faith. That's manipulation. That's bargaining with God. It's asking God to serve your agenda, not his. And it's tantamount to making yourself God. Imagine that. So if we've learned anything in our walk through the story of Jesus in this Gospel of John, we learn about how Jesus does miracles, it's not when people demand something of him. No, Jesus only ever healed the blind, fed the hungry, or drove out demons, or did any other kind of miracle. He always did it in response to faith. He only did it in response to those who believed he could do these things. This crowd, they had witnessed this miracle the day before, and they simply didn't believe Jesus, who was who he said he was. So he, at this moment, was not about to cave to their demands. So what we see here is this, is we do not determine the basis of faith. God does. So instead of doing this sign that they're demanding, Jesus again speaks truth to them. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So right here, Jesus tells us the basis for genuine faith. Faith is based upon what God does. Faith is based upon what the Father gives. When the Jews were wandering in the desert, it was the Father who gave them bread from heaven to eat. It was the Father who satisfied their physical hunger. It was the Father who kept them from dying. Now Jesus tells them that the same God who satisfied their hunger the day before is the same God who now gives them the true bread from heaven. The sign they are looking for is actually standing right in front of them. God has given them the true bread from heaven, and Jesus is saying it's him. He says, "For the bread of God is he who has come down from heaven and gives life to the world." So the bread God gives is a person, and that person is Jesus. If you want the eternal life God gives, then believe in the one he has sent. He is the true bread that satisfies the soul. Now, I've always wanted to be in this particular crowd. It's a very interesting thing, because if you continue reading the story, you see a lot of unbelief and a lot of rejection of Jesus at this point. So at this point, whether it makes sense to them or not, they do respond. "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." I like how the English Standard Version translated, because it has a little bit different nuance of meaning. It says, "Sir, give us this bread always." So they're still associating that with the manna that God gave every day. They're thinking that, well, he's just going to give them stuff to eat every day. "Give us this bread always." So they want something from Jesus. But at this point, they still don't get it. They've been clueless about life. They've been definitely clueless about what it takes, what the work that God requires to believe. And now we now see that they're clueless about whom God has sent. They want what God provides, but they don't know who they're to put their faith in. So really right here we see this. They're clueless about Jesus. And again, Jesus is going to set them straight. And what he's about to tell them is the truth about who he is and what he can do for them. And here now, Jesus really declares the good news in this passage. He says this, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe.'" The Jews wanted to see a miraculous sign so they would believe. And right here, Jesus declared, God's already given them a sign. He has sent them the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He is the true bread that has come down from heaven. The Father has sent him to give them what they've been longing for, what they're hungering for. The Father sent Jesus to them to satisfy their souls, to give them life. The Father has sent Jesus to give them eternal life. But they're clueless about Jesus. You ever had this thought?
Boy, I wish I could have been a disciple and walked around when Jesus was there. Chances are you'd have been just like these guys in the crowd. They just didn't get Jesus. They were blind to who he was. But what I find next is very remarkable. Jesus now opens himself up fully and begins to tell them what they will receive if they believe in him. Listen to what he says. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven. Can he get any clearer than that? I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. I mean, talk about a fire hydrant of grace. Jesus lays it all out for us. He is saying he's the true bread. This bread, he is a life-satisfying bread. I am right here in front of you. I am the person that God has sent. The bread from heaven is a person. I am that person. I am the bread of life. And again, Jesus uses the covenant name for God, I am. And if you're here last week, we recognize when Jesus uses that term, I am, it strikes a chord. And they realize that Jesus is referring to himself as Yahweh, the one who is for them in every way. I am the one who exists to prosper you, to care for you, to provide for you. Jesus then is saying, I am the great I am in the flesh. And he declares to them the good news of eternal life is found in him. And he declares right here to them, I am the giver of life. I am the one who truly satisfies. I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never be hungry. If you come to me, you will never thirst. If you come to me, I will never drive you away. I will never let you go, and I will raise you up the last day. Jesus declares here that he is the sign that they're looking to see. But these Jews have not seen Jesus for who he claims to be. Oh yes, they think they've got it figured out. They've seen the miracles. They've heard the teaching. But they have not believed in him. They have not trusted in him. No, they're absolutely clueless to who he really is. So Jesus says it as clear as he can. I am the bread of life. And he promises what he will do for them if they would just come to him and believe. And here's the beautiful thing for us today. What he promised them, he promises us. First of all who come to Jesus find satisfaction. He says that when you come to him, you will never go hungry. You will never be thirsty. In other words, if you're willing to come to Jesus, Jesus will fill the emptiness inside. That's good news. He will set you free from seeking satisfaction from the things of this world that never satisfy. Anybody here struggling with dissatisfaction in your life today? The world wants to keep you enslaved to what they offer. But Jesus will satisfy your soul completely. He'll satisfy your spiritual longings for you, because when you come to him, you will no longer need created things, because you will know the Creator. He will quench your spiritual thirst. No longer will you have to work to find contentment. No longer will you have to keep working to satisfy your longings. No longer will you say, I can't get no satisfaction. For Jesus will fill your life with his life, his peace, his truth, his love. No longer will you need to search for acceptance, because you will have approval in his presence. No longer will you need to earn his favor, because you'll be able to rest in his grace. The greatest place on earth to be is to rest in the grace of Jesus Christ. No more striving. See, the promise he made then is still valid today. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty, for all who come to Jesus will find satisfaction for their souls. Have you come to Jesus?
Yes.
Secondly, all who come to Jesus find safety. Jesus promises that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. See, in this world of broken hearts, broken promises, broken relationships, you can count on Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, you will be safe. You will never have to fear that he may stop loving you, stop forgiving you, stop being there for you. You'll never have to worry that he'll turn his back on you. For the good news is that when he comes for you, he came not just to rescue you from the condemnation your sins deserved, but to forgive you and set you free from all sin, all guilt, all shame, all judgment. And that means when you come to Jesus, you are now in the safest place in the entire universe. For anyone who comes to him, Jesus promises to never let you go. Never let you go. If this morning you have come to Jesus and put your trust in him, you can count on what he says, not on what you feel. That's why we are people of the truth. That's why Jesus continually says, I tell you the truth.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And the world today is assaulting the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We need the truth. All who come to Jesus will find safety for their souls. And finally, all who come to Jesus find security. Jesus promised, and I'll raise them up the last day. See, when you come to Jesus, when you put your trust in Jesus, your future is secured by Jesus. You not only get the presence of Jesus now, but he gives you the hope of eternal life with him forever. The Bible calls this hope an anchor to the soul, for the soul, so that no matter what chaos, no matter what hardship, no matter what trial, no matter what difficult circumstances you may face right now, he guarantees eternal security for your soul. He is the author and the finisher of your salvation. He is the resurrection and the life. And anyone who comes to him, anyone who trusts in him, Jesus says this, you will never die. Therefore, Jesus is our blessed hope. This world of trials are only a blip in the scope of eternity. Life doesn't end here. It begins with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Your future is secure in him. All who come to Jesus will find security for their souls. See, this is who Jesus really is. This is the Jesus he wants you to see. He wants you to see that he's the one who can satisfy your soul. He wants you to see that he is good, that he is trustworthy, so that you will come to him and believe. And he wants you to know that when you come to him, you'll never be hungry or thirsty again. For when you come to him, he'll never let you go, and he promises to bring you home. Now, I don't know if there's a clearer description that Jesus gives of the good news in the gospel about himself. So my question this morning is simply this. Do you know this Jesus? You see, there's lots of descriptions out there about Jesus. But Jesus gives the clearest description of all. He is the bread of life who has come to give you life. So do you know this Jesus? And let me add this question. Do you want the life he offers? If you do, then the work God requires of you is this, is to believe in Jesus. Come to him and put your trust in him. Now, I know this morning, as I speak here, that there are many of you, and perhaps if not all of you, have already done that. But the beauty in hearing the gospel through the lips of Jesus himself is it gives strength to your faith. And it reminds you that you have the blessed hope that others need. But if you're here this morning and you have never come to Jesus, that you have continually struggled to find satisfaction in the things of the world, and you are still empty,
There's a reason why. It's because you need Jesus. This is the Jesus who can satisfy your soul. For he gives you a life that is richer and fuller and will endure forever. It's a life with him. If you've never come to Jesus and put your trust in him, you can do that right here, right now. So I'm going to simply ask, as the gals come back to sing, that you would pray. Let's pray.